TV and the daily BFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to BFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm so excited about being here with you. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world and our Gulf Coast WHBR audience every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. And we're so excited about being here. I think, you know, you want to be open to the fact that maybe, that America's problem, if you traced it out and you pulled out the DNA like they do nowadays and put it on a strand and you separated the T's from the H's and the G's and, you know, John, you can explain that later. That, you know, the proteins and all, it would track down and say, aha, we found out it's not the butler who did it, but it's the church who did it. Mm-hmm. And you know, one thing about it is that when you find out who did it, then, you know, you can, you know, bring justice.
Right.
Well, with the church, you know, men in general, outside of Jesus Christ, you know, we're all in trouble and we've all sinned and fallen short. But with Jesus Christ, God served justice on his son. Mm-hmm. So when we find out that it's God's people, we've sinned and we've fallen short, and that we can not just say, I'm sorry, but we can repent. Mm-hmm. And let me give you a great, simple analogy of repentance. You're 10 years old and your mom has been telling you to make your bed now for the last 30 days. And she goes in there and she sees your bed unmade. And she tells you to make your bed and you don't. And then she comes back the next day and she says, of course, I guess you slept again last night because it's, I don't know. She doesn't really know whether the cover's moved or not because they look the same as they did the day before. And she says, I told you, make your bed. And she comes back the third day. And again, she doesn't know if they even moved or not because the socks are still on the floor. Mm-hmm. And she says, I'll tell you what, you know, today, you know, you're going to have to, when you get home from school, you're going to have some consequences because I told you to make your bed and you didn't make your bed. Oh, please. I'm sorry. Oh, I'll make my bed and all this kind of stuff. And because there's consequences, you know, the child, you know, says, I'm going to make my bed up. And then the child makes their bed up and then she lets them off the consequences. She doesn't give them the consequences. Mm-hmm. What happens the next day after that? It's unmade again, right? Because repentance is this. When God says, make your bed up, because not having a made bed, just as an analogy, is sin. Mm-hmm. First of all, your heart's broken for the fact that you sinned against God. You feel remorseful about the fact that I didn't realize God wanted me to make my bed. And but now you're aware of it. And then you go, I'm going to make my bed. I'm going to make my bed up. And so when God sees my life, he's going to see, you know, tight sheets and pillows in the right places and 45 degree angles. It's probably Pat's, you know, 45 degree angles.
That's Steve's.
You know, Steve's, you flip a quarter probably off of Steve's what you did in the military. But and then you know, hey, I'm making my bed because God wants me to make my bed, or, you know, my mom wants me to make my bed. And this is pleasing to my mother and this is pleasing to God. And you may even struggle with, oh, times are rushed. I don't know what to do. But even in the midst of that, knowing that you could just walk out and not make your bed anymore as a child, that you still adjust your life accordingly. I'm going to need to get up earlier. I'm going to need to include in my life, you know, time to be able to make my bed. I need to not get a wrong viewpoint of this. My mom's not hating on me. She knows what's best for me. And because she loves me, she's telling me I need to learn discipline in my life or whatever it is. And God's doing the same thing. And so we're not doing it out of some sort of works or resentment or I'm just trying to please God here. I'm just trying to make my mom happy. It's like, oh my goodness, I can just make my bed. I need to make adjustments in my life to obey God. So repentance for the church, when we see that, hey, we trace this down and, you know, the world has nothing to do with God's people, nothing whatsoever to do with God's people. It's God's people who God has a relationship with, and he loves all people. Mm-hmm. But those that have chose to be his, when we walk in rebellion to him and turn away from him, he allows things to happen to be able to bring us back to him. And what he wants from us is us to make our beds. He wants us to repent. And so right. there's a lot of situations going on right now where, you know, people are saying words like, I'm so sorry, I should have made my bed. I should have made my bed. And there's people making their bed for a day, you know, making their bed for a day. But then they go back to their same way of life. But what God is looking for, you know, God is looking for, you know, us to be able to walk out repentance. And so the hope for America and the hope for the church is us making our beds. That's what repentance is. It's so simple, but it's pretty, it's what you have to do is die to yourself, and because the kid didn't want to make its bed. The kid just didn't want to do it. But then the kid had to say to themselves, listen, it's not all about me. And I don't know everything. And I need to honor my mother. And if I love her, I'll honor her. If I love God, I'll honor God. You know, God says, if I'm your father, where's my honor?
Right.
And so it becomes out of love because I love my mother. Because I know she knows things. My whole frontal lobe hadn't developed yet. I'm 10 years old. I don't even have, I don't have no grip of reality yet. I have no experiences. And with God, I mean, you'll never figure God out. You know, you can ponder him and search his awesomeness, but it just goes on, and he goes on and on and on and on. So you just have to believe that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, and he understands why he's told us in his word to do this or not to do that. Does that mean we never have an unmade bed? No, but it's a bump in the road. It's not a bump in the road. It's an anomaly. It's something that doesn't happen continually in your life. You know, it's not like it was at one time when you know, not only was your bed unmade, but you enjoyed having it unmade. You never thought about making your bed. But now you realize if you do sin, that you're broken for it, and you go to God and you confess it, and he forgives you of your sin. But to go on sinning and not turn from it is not to be repentant of our sin. It's very simple. And so he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and repent, turn from their own wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. And so what he's saying is, you know, you can cry all you want to, you can put as much money on the altar as you want to, you know, you can read your Bible as much as you want to, you can do all these things you want to, but when you get up from that place of prayer and that place of brokenness, if you're not making your bed, I'm not going to heal this land. Period. So then we're like the 10-year-old kid. We have to realize I've been selfish, narcissistic, and wanting to do things my own way. And how can I criticize a 10-year-old kid when I myself have been wanting to do things my way? And just because I was an adult, you know, I just started making all these rules to everybody, and it's like, I just do it my way.
Uh-huh.
You know, and here you are, like a 10-year-old kid, getting rebuked by your father for not repenting, not making your bed. And so with that, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this morning that as people are praying and crying and doing all the things we need to do, mm-hmm. if it's all said and done.
Right. You just got to continue to seek God and repent. We got to acknowledge the fact that, you know what? It's time to make the bed. It's time to do what God's called us to do. And it's, you know, complaining, feeling bad, feeling sorry, like you said, it's just not going to cut it. At the end of the day, what matters is that did we make the bed?
And that's my really concern, because we know how to feel bad.
I mean, right. We've got that down pretty good, don't we? It's easy to feel bad. It's easy to feel, you know, sorry when the consequences are meeting us.
Even a drunk knows how to feel bad over a toilet when they're, you know, they're saying yeah. more things than somebody would say because they're miserable in their sin. They made a mistake. Sure. They're suffering, you know.
Right.
So that's not the key.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is wanting to please God.
Right.
And my concern is that sin has become something that's not sinful.
Mm.
There's people prophesying things that make people feel comfortable in their sin. They're saying, let me lay hands on you and prophesy over you. And it's like, that man's in sin. You better get your hands off of him. Because if you say that you heard from the Lord and you lay your hands on that man and he's in sin, and when you step off, he's going to believe that God was pleased with the sin. He's going to stay in it, and God has something to say about you. Mm-hmm. False prophets, you get your hands off God's people. Mm-hmm. And quit saying, thus saith the Lord, when people were in this open sin.
Right.
You understand, if you're you don't know anything about that man's life, and you walk up and you laid hands on him and you said, like God said, never say, here's an oracle from God, and you deliver the oracle from God from them, like some, he's some local God, some local situation, and now he's, you know, because you're out of your own head, and because you're coming out of your own flesh, and because you're coming out of your own will and your own motives, you just sentence that guy to think that God is okay with the sin and he's going to burn in hell because you said, thus saith the Lord. Listen, the problem is sin is no longer sinful in the minds of so many people in American churches. Really, I mean, you got to pay attention, because you got to remind yourself, oh my goodness, this is sinful. Mm-hmm. you got to say this is sinful.
Right.
That's why when you're prophesying over people and you're moving in your gift, that you need to be aware of who their pastor is and their shepherd is, and work with them in understanding that they are under a shepherd,
right,
for a reason, right. And you need to, and they know where that person is. They know what's happening in their life, and they're going to have to pick up all the pieces when you walk away and prophesy out of your own head or your own heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that you have to understand, if somebody is, for example, in the mafia, they're in some drug cartel or something, and they're killing people, and you walk up and you lay hands on them and you begin to prophesy over them, and it does not cause them to be acknowledged. What you say to them does not make them aware of their sin.
Mm.
And it makes them comfortable in their sin. It doesn't even bring it up, and it causes them to feel better about where they are in their life. I mean, Jeremiah 23 talks about you. God talks about you in Jeremiah 24. Mm-hmm. He says, I don't even want to hear it. He says, He says, and he says, and so right now we've got to hear a word about, Lord, help us turn from our sin. Help us repent.
Amen.
You know, marriages are out of order. Families out of order. Finances are out of order. Choices of what comes into our eyes are out of order. Relationships are out of order. I mean, which means sin. These are things, unmade beds. And people are going, let me prophesy over you. Let me prophesy. It's like, prophesy. When you finish, I better feel convicted if I'm in sin. Because if I don't feel convicted, you know, lovingly convicted, that if I'm not drawn closer to God, you know, when this finishes and I just feel more comfortable in my rebellion and my idolatry of self, you know, stop it. Mm-hmm. Stop preaching messages and prophesying over a nation of believers in the church that causes us to feel comfortable in our sin. We don't listen. If you really loved us, you're going to help us in love, and you're going to speak words that you're hearing from God that lines up with his word, that when you're finished, I understand a loving God loves me, but I'm going to have to deal with the sin in my life. And if I will go to the cross, God will forgive me for that sin, and I'll be in right relationship with God. But right now we have so many feel good, of course, I mean, everybody is a friend of a man who gives gifts. Stimulus packages.
Yep.
Of course, everybody's your friend if you call yourself a prophet, and every time you lay hands on somebody, you go, and then I see you walking, you know, on gold, and then I...
In a mansion.
And I see, you know, that you've been struggling, but God sees your struggle, and is like... And welcome to all of us.
Yeah, right.
it's like guessing your weight at the fair. You're thinking he'll never guess my weight. he goes like, how did you do that? Oh my goodness, I thought this shirt hit it. He can never guess Pat's weight. He can never guess Pat's. We got to check this blousing thing out.
It's the blousing.
Yeah,
it's
we got to check this blousing thing out to see if it works. he may not blouse again. It's like, anybody find out it doesn't work. No, but seriously, that is very frustrating for people who love God and love people who want to see them, people be forgiven of their sin. They want to see people set free. When you keep on, every time they see you, then here comes a good word. I mean, Ahab loves you. I mean, oh my goodness. Come and tell me some other reason why me not taking the keys of my life and running things the way they're supposed to run. They'll tell me, oh yeah. And if you give them a true word, it's like, they're like stomp out of the room. Oh, I can't lie. Always give me a bad word, Elijah. It's like, well, no, just kind of, you know, telling you like it is, you know, right. God loves you.
Someone once said, did you get a good word?
Yeah,
it's like, hello. Every time God speaks is a good word.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, and the thing is that this is what he says. This is what he says. And read, take a little time, the other people that are not 17%, because only 17% read the Bible, according to George Barna, 18%. My thing moves, isn't it? 16, 17, 18, under 20. 19. 19. There he goes. What, when are we in? So the 80%, pause for a moment. Don't read anything, but just read Jeremiah 23 and 24. Just read it. And understand that now, since we're in this condition that we're in as a nation, as the church, now not as the people who are not walking with God, not the people that have like statues in the wilderness that are burning, the Burning Man people, and none of that stuff. But the people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, who have said that they've actually accepted them as their Lord, who understands, you know, the family of God, that, you know, you're wanting to walk with God, that we need, if we got to repent, we need somebody to talk to us and be real with us so that we can make a decision. Somebody needs to come into our lives and say, your bed's unmade, make your bed. You know, we need somebody, but it's important this, the truth and love. We need, you know.
Not to tell us what our itching ears want to hear with the Book of Acts.
There shouldn't be one ear that itches in America right now. I mean, there should be not. Everything's been, there's nothing, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, with that, you know, we speak the truth and love. L.A. Joyner, I had a prophet come to his church in Georgia, and he was just really, you know, harsh. And he finished up and talking to an L.A. was pastor in the church then, that church. And the prophet looks at him and says, yeah, he says, why do you talk that way, basically, to the guy? And he goes, well, because I'm a prophet. And he says, no, you talk that way because you're mean. And so, I'm not talking about being mean, because first of all, it's not going to work, because people respond by love. But you got to be the kindness and the sternness of God. You got to say, this is bad, but God loves you. This is bad, but you can repent. There is justice. Yeah, but justice was served on Jesus Christ. We can cry for justice, but it causes us to run for the cross before the hammer lands on a nation. I mean, go to VFN TV and watch No One Cries for Justice. It'll give you a perspective that justice is putting things back in order again. It's making beds up. But with that, we have to get under the blood. We have to deal with our own personal sin, or the hammer will land on us. And God served justice. He dealt justice. He dealt with it once and for all through his son. And those who actually run to him and deal with their sin, our sin, at the cross of Christ, and accept the price that he's paid and walk away with made beds, you know, don't walk away with messed up covers, you know, as Juanita Bynum says, no more sheets.
Right.
You know, walk away with saying, you know what, I'm going to learn, I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to learn how to make beds the way Jesus has made beds. I'm going to walk my life out. I'm going to be discipled. And so I can live a life that's free from sin. And if I do sin, it's not going to be something that I desire to do. And if I do, you know, if you hadn't listened to, was it called the product? What's the pigs?
Prodigals.
The prodigals.
Prodigals are coming home.
And it talks about the difference between a sheep and a pig. That is a big difference. It doesn't mean we're not going to get dirty. We're not going to. There's going to be. We're going to sin. but it's not going to be something that stays continual in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And right. the goodness of God in us will empower us to walk out the good things in this life that causes other people to look at us and give God glory and not us, because there's no one good but God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer and you ask them, you know, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes you'll sometimes hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on X, Y, Z. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Is God speaking to me?
Have you ever heard this Jesus you profess? You know.
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually. That God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love John 10. It says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you wanted to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, he
cares about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book. But it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org. That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com. and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
The Lord Jesus, asleep on the...
Man, the Lord is good.
Yes.
I'm telling you, you know, I sent out a little text yesterday. I almost got onto the tweet. I put it on Facebook, you know.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're going to have a good day, you got to decide today, this morning, to make it a good day. You got to just go ahead and make it. Make it a good day. Because good days just don't, you know, just fly out the air. You got to embrace the day. You got to kind of attack the day with faith, with confidence, with the joy of the Lord. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if it's gloom and doom.
That's right.
Right? Because you got to attack it. You got to attack it. This day is meant to be lived and squozen out for God.
Squozen?
Squozing, you squoze the thing out of there.
I gotta look that word up. Squoze.
You look it up. Listen, that's the JIV, John Inspired version there.
Okay. All right.
But you know, I mean, listen. Yeah, some people just let the days drift by. You know, and once today is over with, it's done. You know what I'm saying? It's in the tank. It's finished. Your best living that you're gonna do is right now.
Exactly.
It's not living for next week and the next event on a calendar. But live every day purposefully for God. Because let me tell you something. Tomorrow
may never come.
It's written in a fool's calendar.
That's right.
You know, all we have is today. Mm-hmm. I don't have to think about, you know, after some time has gone by and you're like, oh, man, all that time we were together and we didn't do this, or all that time and gosh, that was missed opportunity here, missed opportunity there. And I got to thinking, you know, God allows people to come into your life sometimes just for seasons. And then, you know, then they're out of your life for a season and they come back in your life for a season. We should enjoy every moment that we have with those that are around us as we're just glorifying God and living for his potential. Because you know what? You never know when a person may not be in your life anymore.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so
we've seen it so many times, right?
We've seen it so many times. So you've got to seize the moment and seize today. It's, I mean, look, the days are ticking. So it's time to take advantage of today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know that China, John, is praying in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right?
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win. We will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talk to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. And the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. The entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility. You know, quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching, we're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is, and it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction, that our God, through his son Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's like the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you've got to meet God through his son Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners. And by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
The prophecy is prophecy until it becomes your reality, and it's not prophecy anymore. Mm-hmm. Some people say, I got to prophesy, you know, and they start talking about what's happening today. Like, that's not prophecy. That's prophecy coming to pass.
Right.
And so it's time for us to do what God told us was going to happen. We have to respond in it. And Paul talks to Timothy about there's a time coming when men won't put up with sound doctrine. They'll turn away to Reverend Feelgood and you know, people that make them feel good, that it's their ears. And they will gather around themselves. And so we're going to talk about that, because that time has now come. And it's pretty interesting what the Lord revealed to me in that. And hopefully we get a chance too to talk about in our programs, if not today, and not this program, the next program, because it's four programs back to back, make sure you catch them, is about, you know, we're not called to blend in. You know, sometimes we can be so focused on being politically correct. And, you know, America's about, America, we've become a place of tolerance for anything and everything except for God. And intolerance has come towards God, but everything else can be tolerated. False gods can be tolerated. False prophets can be tolerated. Reverend Feelgoods can be tolerated. You know, whatever can be tolerated. But you just say something as simple as doctrine that you're reading from the Bible. I mean, it's not like something you wrote. I mean, if God said, listen, you can write your own Bible. You can write your own Bible, and whatever you write, that's how it's going to be. And if you follow what you write, then, hey, you know, everything's great. You're going to enter into heaven. Everything's going to be fine. First of all, if there's 7 billion people on the face of the earth, there'd be 7 billion different Bibles. Secondly, we probably wouldn't have wrote some of those things down because it's not easy. It causes us to cry out to God. And I mean, even Jesus himself, although he was a son of God, he cried out to God who could save him from death. Understand that if Jesus had to cry out, then we have to cry out. But the thing about it is, this stuff about being a self-made man and self-reliant, you know, we got to back up a little bit with that. No, we're supposed to be dependent on the fact that our God is the one that takes care of us. And to prove that is, we're so dependent that all of a sudden government says, we'll be your God. And if you haven't yet seen, you know, omg.gov, you know, right? It's there. It's actually, you can see it on the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com. So we're going to depend on something. And it's interesting what's taking place. And I just want to just say it right up front that this is what's being promoted. Depend on anyone and anything other than God. They're having children now who are grown folks depend on their parents till they're like 25 years old. I mean, people who used to only live till 30. I mean, right. You know what I'm saying? Not too long ago was like, you're 25, it's half of 50. You know that's what I'm saying? You don't know. And they're turning that situation. And then they're having the children who are growing up in foster homes now, which I thank God for foster parents. But now they just passed a law in some states that says that they can stay with that foster parent now till they're 22. Oh, and wow. It's like, okay, you know, they bought into 18. They stood in there for the whole community to 18, and they poured into that child at 18. Now they got to put 2 more years.
And Lord knows at 18, you're ready for them to go.
They're interviewing this one young man. He says, I was 18. I didn't know nothing. I didn't need to be put on the street. It's like, hey, welcome to You Need God. I mean, that's all of us, you know.
Hello.
And it's like now they're government with health care and all these responsibilities. And it's like, this is what happened. This is the ultimate thing that Israel did. They wanted a government that would take care of them. They turned away from God's form of government. If you haven't yet heard or seen or listened to America, how we got here and how we stay here, you need to hear that. Because you know what Israel did to God when they turned away from his form of government, Samuel, and turned to a king, which ended up being Saul, that God chose. He said, hey, he's going to tax you to the hilt. He's going to take your best men. He's going to charge you all kinds of money. You know, he's like, okay, this is today's paradigm. He's going to tax you to the hilt to pay for the health care. He's going to take all your best people to work for the government. The average pay now for the government official in Washington, D.C., I believe is around $70,000.
Wow.
And you see, that's why people want to get on. They're unionized, which means they're determining our tax base. And so they're going to get the best of everything. And people are saying, we still want a king. We still want government to be God. And so April 15th. Is when the four blood moons is reported to be starting. April the 15th, coming up soon. You know, what, 100 days away, 90-something days away.
Right.
And if you back up a little bit, April 15th last year, well, let me talk about April the 10th. April the 10th, God gave me a vision And it was so real. I was in this vision, and I was in this huge explosion, this big bomb, this big shot went off, and I was standing on a street. And the first thing I did was look at myself, and I jumped. I mean, this is not a dream. This is like you're in it, so you react to it. And so I'm jumping, you know, thinking, "Oh my goodness!" And it was so loud. I looked at my body to see if I was hit. I looked at the buildings to see if they were hit, and I couldn't see anything hit. And I didn't. Well, what was this? You know. And I'm writing it down, and God's speaking to us at that time because He said, "I wanted you to be where we are right now, located mm-hmm. in the Gulf Coast region for the VFN TV studios and Dream Center and all, mm-hmm. because we were going to be in Texas." And 5 days later, tax day on Patriots Day, right? On tax day, April the 15th, we were attacked by terrorists. And men and women and children who just wanted to go out and celebrate Patriots Day and on the Boston Marathon, went out to run a race only to end up at the end of the race. And this, I think about this. This is what Paul said to Galatia. He said, "Who cut in on you? You were running a good race. Who bewitched you?" You know, America was running a good race. Yeah, we have all of our mistakes and all of our troubles, and we can deal with that because God makes the two adversaries one at the cross. We can deal with that. Every nation has its evil in it. But the church is not supposed to be evil. We're supposed to be the light in the midst of that. And those that claim to be the church who did evil, they actually were servants of Satan. They weren't servants of Christ, and they just need to be separated out. They just need to get saved, you know? Mm-hmm. And so 5 days later, on April the 15th last year, just like the God Lord showed me, an explosion took place, and these two young men who have been totally held captive by the adversary, who profess to be, according to reports, Muslims and Islamists, you know, mm-hmm. and dedicated to Muhammad and his teachings, came out there with backpacks and pressure cookers that they built bombs in to be able to kill people and maim them and to just, and this is what the devil does. It's called terrorist, establish fear. But understand this, that nothing comes without God not doing it, but He did not protect us from that.
Right.
And you got to say that this could happen everywhere if we don't, you know, turn back to God. He could just pull His hands back and the protective hedge could be gone. Well, 12 months to the day after that, April 15th, is the beginning of the four blood moons. And guess what? It's tax day. And guess what God told Israel? Okay, if you want government to be God, they can't afford to be God. But listen, they're going to charge you as much as they can trying to be God. Mm-hmm. They're going to take all your money from you. And I heard myself in the radio interviews of our president when he was running for office the first time. And he talked about high tax rates. He talked about at one point, and he said that, you know, tax rates may have to be at 100%, you know, and it was like 100%.
Really?
That's slavery. And it's like,
yeah.
Okay, you give me the money and I'll take care of you. But you have to understand, when I was talking to someone from Denmark, they didn't mind. You know why? Because the government takes care of all their needs. And he said, I don't mind paying even more taxes if I had a job. Right. And it's like,
how old are you?
You're living off the government. I see it. And it's like, so government becomes God. So I want to encourage you, you know, we're a couple months away, you know, days away from the beginning of the four blood moons, and you got to hear these understanding what does that mean? And it begins in tears, but it ends up in delivery. But the question is, can we survive the tears? Many people die in these journeys of the four blood moons. And I've seen the tragedy, but I've also seen the revival. I've seen the church coming alive and people running after God. But that normally happens when people are scared out of their sin. And they wake up and they see God and say, listen, all these Reverend Feelgoods have been lying to me. I got to find out a Reverend Truth Good, you know, who's going to tell me the truth? And so the tax day is coming up 12 months to the day after this explosion, this terrorist attack. I mean, how could such a young man's life be ruined by this and just believe in the lies of the enemy to go out and kill innocent folks like that? People he went to school with, people that he worked with, people that lived with. But realize that's going to happen. Yeah. That could happen. And we need God to protect us from something like that. There's nothing you can do in regards to protecting yourself from people who just want to be evil and want to do good, want to do evil, other than turning to God, and God will begin to deal with the evilness. We got.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, I do want to say that I had an epiphany.
You okay?
Yeah, it was a moment. It was a moment that when I was checking to see if my shoes were untied or not, and then I had to get a mirror to find out.
They were down there.
Right. I just had to have faith that they were down there. No, it's not like that. But, you know, you just get to that point, literally. You know, this is a mounting of obstacles. That you have to say, you know what, I am going to, by God's grace, in view of his mercy, begin to resize myself.
That sounds painful.
Yeah, well, you know, Pat's just challenging us, isn't he, Chris? I mean, he's coming in here, he squeaks when he walks now. You know, he's like running in place while we're on the radio, just trying to just sweat things off. It's like, you're really making this feel really bad.
Really bad.
Really, really, really bad. When he eats, he's like a half quarter of a sandwich or something with a piece of lettuce on it or something. Right. He chews on it really loud.
I know, I've seen the size of those sandwiches, but they are.
How does that work? We need to eat less.
I know it. You know? And he's like, he eats. I can't tell you how many times a day he eats.
But come on.
It's a lot. Like, it's way
but
more.
But if you
than
add
I
it
do.
All up, it's, you know, it's insignificant.
It must be. And Chris and I are deceiving ourselves somewhere along the line.
Somewhere along.
Trying to figure this out, you know. Somebody says, well, I eat salad bars. Have you seen the salad bar lately?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's like, anyway. So I appreciate all your prayers out there as I take this journey of following the doctor's orders, which you probably heard years ago when I talked about it. I've decided now is,
that
the
last
time,
year?
Now is the time. What happened, instead of losing that weight, I just lost the doctor.
Got me another one.
Yeah, well, actually, I did. I didn't do it intentionally. I mean, he got transferred, and I have a new doctor. He's a good doctor. He just came back from being in Afghanistan, serving over there, and he's back. He's a good doc. And the way I work things out with him is I just don't go see him, and therefore everything's
okay.
You don't get any medical advice at all. It's amazing how that works. Yeah, I'm fine. So I got this little app now that you can measure the calories, how many calories you're eating, because you got to stay under a certain amount of calories, according to Pat, to be able to lose weight, like 3 calories a day, something like that.
Well, a little bit more than that.
4. And and so you got to write down, you just have to write down, I guess, the calories that you would eat or ingest. And really, I mean, obviously from my history, you know, I got a chance in the past to work with a trainer that way past, and ignorantly, we don't know about our food. We just don't know what we're eating, because sometimes we're eating stuff and we're thinking, what's the big deal? This is just ice cream. and we don't realize how many calories are in like cheese or something, or tater chips sprinkled over cheese. Tater chips are evil.
They are very
calories.
Oh, they're terrible.
And if you have a chip in your mouth right now, Jesus loves you. Don't worry about it.
Step away from the bag.
Step away from the bag. Put it down. And you're only lying to yourself. And believe it or not, don't eat chips. So you count your calories, and so you would have to write that down. But now they have an app for that. And you just... You point it at yourself, take a picture, and it says, you're fat. No.
You scan yourself.
You scan yourself. Which it's like, oh, my goodness. You got to be careful. You never know what these phones are going to do. It's totally amazing. So I just have, if there's any, anyway. So I remember this app, you know, years ago when it was first getting started. It had a abacus thing in it and stuff to be able to slide little stones over when you'd eat something. But now it's so efficient that if you have a barcode on the side of a package, what you're about to eat, you just snap it and it knows what you're eating.
Yep.
And it, you know, what, how many you're eating of that stuff, which is great, because that's the big thing, is trying to take the time to write that stuff down.
Exactly.
And So I started and embarked on this journey. So if I want to find out what's happening with Eddie, I know Eddie's on insanity. He's doing the insanity thing.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. I mean, he's been real quiet about it, yeah, you know, yeah. But we'll see soon.
We will.
We'll see soon when he's on the beaches down here. He's like, how's the insanity going?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Today, more and more, we're getting, you know, in this, when you go buy a product or you're thinking about buying a particular product, you go online and you start looking at people, how they evaluated that product. They tried it, they got it, they took it out of the box, and they just kind of share their, you know, the customers evaluate the product and services of that particular company. It's kind of pretty much how it started.
Give reviews.
And give reviews on it. And then, and it kind of, we read it like it's the gospel sometimes. Like, oh my goodness, this is great. You know, we go right to the one that has 5 stars, it goes right to the ones that have 1 star. You know, why did you put a 1 star down, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it got to the next level of where people started evaluating and giving reviews on individuals and companies who provided services, like painters and carpenters and I believe like Angie's List and people like that, that are out there to be able to evaluate and give reviews on, you know, painters. So, quote, you can pick a good painter. And then it's got as far now where students are giving reviews on teachers in universities where they're all talking about their particular professor and their teacher, and they're evaluating them. And it's an amazing, you know, what I've seen is, you know, where you hear or you read a ranting from a Christian, a public posted ranting about a stupid product or a service that was rendered on their Facebook or on that company's feedback page. And it's like, you know, you blew your whole testimony of God while you're dogging this company out. It's like, really? Over what? Over Cheerios? I mean, what was that about? You really? I mean, isn't there a way to say something as a Christian that we can say things in a constructive way and talk about the good parts of a particular business and a company and then and acknowledge that? You know, I was reading one review about a thing that had to be put together. And the person that wrote it has no idea. You can read it and find out, obviously, they didn't read the directions. They're saying things like, the screws weren't long enough, and this didn't fit together. And they're just like, I'm ignorant.
I didn't read
and find out this screw don't go in that hole. And, but, you know, people love that. Oh, man, yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. But listen, I got to ask you this question. You know, in that critical spirit that's been used quite often, then they're literally, I believe they're suing people who put things up today and pressing charges. It's civil law, but they're saying they're putting up bad reviews, trying to destroy a company, something that wasn't true. Mm. And they're giving this kind of review about it. You can destroy a business.
Wow.
And if you really care about your business, you care about your customers, and, you know, and I've had businesses where, you know, the customer's always right. Right. Remember that?
Yeah.
You're right.
I do.
We won't talk about that. But the, because that's where your customers, where you get your, you know, that's, you give them a product or a service and they give you finances for it, and that's how it works. They might like you, but they want a good product and a good service. And without the customer coming in and purchasing your product, you're not going to have a business. You just got a good idea. And so you want a good review. You would want somebody talking. So you want to make it right. If something happened, you say, well, how can I make this right? You know, let me just, you know, what do I got to give you to resolve this? You know, do you need the product? What do you need? You know, I want to make it right with you because obviously you got offended at the way we were doing business or the product didn't make it, and you want to resolve the issue. And that's the reason what you should do as an owner, especially as a Christian owner. But the spirit about just jabbing at a business because it's some lousy piece of something that you bought, and we got 85% of the storage buildings in the world or in America. I mean, we got stuff, and just blasting this poor business owner, just blasting them because you couldn't get a screw in a hole or They did the box was broken when it got there. I mean, just tell them the box is broken. You don't have to ruin your testimony by telling the whole world that, you know, UPS messed your box up. I mean, they can't help that they're getting it to you, how they're getting it to you. Mm-hmm. But think about this. This will really help you out. This will really help you out when you think about putting reviews up on your teacher. Think about this. Think about this. Okay, I'll tell you what. Right now that my husband has a public review on me, and he's going to post up before the whole world what kind of wife I am, what kind of mother I am. Or your husband has a public review, and your husband's going to your wife has a public review, and she's going to do the same for her husband. Well, he's kind of good. Don't pick up his socks, you know, and he, you know, he's a good provider, but he doesn't talk much. Thank God I do talk. And then, you know what I'm saying? All that kind of stuff's going on. Or think about your kids evaluating you as parents. Oh, my goodness, they spend all their money on themselves and they don't think about me and they don't help me with my homework. And the whole world sees how flawed you are. Mm-hmm. Or think about your parents evaluating you as their kids. Oh my God, narcissist. We're revolving around them. You know, all they think about is my birthday. Your birthday's in 12 months. Let's just get a break for a moment. Let's get a break. 12 months away. But you know what I'm saying? And imagine them evaluating you. Every time you start to evaluate a review, let's just tell it like it is. Every time you start to judge someone, understand, get ready. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. He says, do not judge or you too will be judged. It's unfair for you to think that you could say that thing about that business or that company or that person or that book or that individual and not think you're going to get some backwash on that. Mm-hmm. And we're not like, I mean, it's getting more and more out there. I mean, get ready. I mean, you're going to get reviews. You know, the thing is, are you living your life before God that your reviews in heaven are good? Mm-hmm. Do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged with what measure you use. What measure you use, it will be measured unto you. Mm-hmm. So when you're ranting and raving over, you know, Nabisco product, you know, because a cookie was bad,
all right,
understand that's how you're going to be dealt with. Hmm. But there is a way to say, you know what? Obviously, this is company's been around for 40 years, 50 years, a solid provider of jobs in our community. Have done some wonderful things. I looked at their website. They got some great community things they got going on. But there was a little thing with this particular product, but I contacted them and they made it right. I mean, that's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, you're being honest and you're saying that that's how you want to be treated. You're supposed to treat others the way you want to be treated. And he says, listen, verse three, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in that business's eye? Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in that poor painter man's labor? Speaking of specks, right? You missed a spot. Why do you look at a speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take care of the speck in your company. Let me take care of the speck out of your eye. Let me take it out of your eye. When all the time there is a plank in your own eye. You hypocrites, first take care of the plank in your own eye, and then you will see clearly how to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Listen, when you take Jesus' perspective on this, it helps you to understand, listen, ever how I treat other people is how I'm going to be treated. And so before you start dogging them out, think about how you want to be treated in your life. Mm-hmm. It's really easy. It's a good rule of thumb. You know, the golden rule is treat others the way you want to be treated, right?
That's right.
And it's like, do you really want people to treat you that way? That's sure not nice. And then you think about, if you've never been a business owner, talk to people that have been business owners. It's not easy. That's why not a lot of people are doing it. 3% of the world, or 3% of America, employs the other 97%. Become an owner, then you can relate. It's not as easy because you got to hire people. You are a people yourself. You're human beings providing a product or a service, and everything's moving and changing, and everything's just fluctuating, and they're trying to stay consistent in their product delivery and their product service they're providing. And you can really empathize with how that's going and realize don't shoot down their entire existence because you got one bad product. You know, try to work it out before you start going publicly and putting something on that particular company. And there's some companies out there that make money on pointing out bad things about businesses and companies and those type of things. Realize we got to get back to a place of integrity. As Christians, We should be no post. And I encourage you right now, if you have posts out there for some companies and on your Facebook where you're putting down a product or a company or a customer, you know, and that's not the way you want to be treated and that's not the way you want to be judged, you know, I encourage you to go delete it, remove it from your Facebook, remove it from the product, go hunt up all your little Amazon little things you put out there and all these little things and to say, is that how I want to be evaluated? Because I believe the day's coming that everybody's going to have a review page here on earth. But I know in heaven, we're all going to have a review page.
Oh, yeah.
And it needs to be covered with humility because whatever measure we use in our reviews of others is the measure God's going to use in the reviews of us.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. As a matter of fact, I want to say too to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And of course, we're getting feedback from all of a lot of our listeners and viewers that, and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and
Africa, I mean, just all around the world and America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what, I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio.